aspect a mere side hustle. Sex workers didn't even bother putting up cards in them anymore. He was definitely right about all this, wasn't he? He picked up the receiver, comically large and unwieldy in his hand, and brought it to his ear. Well, near his ear, not to avoid leaving traces of DNA. Although, shit, he hadn't thought of that. But because of the sheer volume of piss, almost certainly dried onto it. He punched the number 3 times, using his knuckle to avoid leaving fingerprints, assuming that knuckle prints weren't a thing. 9, 9, 6 balls. Knuckles weren't designed for this. He jolted, stubbing his head as a passing police car turned on its siren, its decibels blasting through every bone in his body. Have they traced his call already? Come on, pull yourself together. He clicked the receiver. He'd rehearsed this over and over again in his head. Just tell them the facts. Then end the call. 9, 9, 9. Emergency services. Which service do you require? He hung up immediately, slamming the receiver back into its metal cradle. The word emergency had thrown him. Was it really an emergency if it wasn't happening right now? What was the point anyway? They wouldn't believe him. They'd say he'd lost his mind again. Take 3. He dialed the number, put both hands on the receiver as if in prayer, and gave his recitation. I want to report a murder. Actually, 2. A double murder. There have been 2 murders, and I'm worried there might be another. Done. He took a deep breath, which was a mistake in a piss-soaked phone box. I'm sorry, sir, said the operator. Which emergency service do you require? I said double murder. It's not the fucking Coast Guard, is it? Part 1. Chapter 1. All Night Bender. This wasn't Cheers. Eitan wasn't looking for the kind of bar where everybody knows your name. He wanted the sort of anonymity you'd normally only achieve by soldering off your fingerprints and buying a Bolivian passport on the dark web. Shelf was one of Vauxhall's most airless caves. The walls bled sweat, the floor was sticky for what could have been any number of unsavoury reasons, and the thudding tech house synchronised with the pounding in his temples. Eitan felt profoundly overdressed from the moment he stumbled in. He was, for example, the only person who seemed to be wearing a t-shirt. He tugged and fussed at it, suddenly conscious of how it clung to his body. A creaking oak tree in a field of daisies. He had A-level results older than most of the boys in here. Nobody looked like they'd managed to spell their own name, let alone anyone else's. Eitan pummeled his way through the shoal of human protein shakes to reach the bar. Double whiskey, thanks. On the rocks. Sorry, we don't have ice, said the fetus behind the counter. Or whiskey, I can do vodka and tonic. Sure. Eitan necked his tepid vodka tonic, a browning sliver of lemon floating on the top like a corpse in a swimming pool. It was hard to gauge the boundaries of personal space in what was essentially a crowd crush with a PA system, but he became increasingly aware of someone standing closer than social norms dictated. He was either about to be pickpocketed, assaulted, or engaged in conversation and couldn't quite decide which he'd rather. The man edged gradually in front of him, as if he was on casters. The deep furrows in his forehead said mid-50s, but, judging by his backward baseball cap, his mouth presumably liked to say he was in his late 30s. Yo, said the man. Yo, replied Eitan, unsure what the correct response was, having never spent any quality time with Flavor Flav. I'm Chester. American. Which presumably explained the yo and the Chester. Why?